In the book of 1 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 1, it tells us that if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. Desires the office of an elder, he desires a good thing. And we've been hearing a lot about the leadership and the importance of leadership. But I'm also here to tell you today that if a person desires the Christian life, if a person desires the life of a Christian, he desires a good thing. Without the Christian life, you're a complete failure. There is no thing of value in this world that can replace living the Christian life. What can you gain? What is it if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? There's just nothing better than the Christian life and a life lived for Jesus Christ and the one who died for us and makes it possible for us not to have only this life, but an eternal life, a home in heaven, an eternity of joy and happiness. No pain, no fear, none of those things that we have to deal with in this life. We've heard a lot of lessons over yesterday and today about the work of the shepherds and the importance of shepherds and how they operate, what their purpose is, and the responsibilities that they have. Now we've come to the point where we're going to talk a little bit about you people. I've been given the responsibility to share with you what the Word of God has to say about your responsibilities as a congregation, and in particular your responsibilities to your elders. But I don't know that I really particularly like that slant on it. I don't know that I like my congregation to be able to have the feeling that they're responsible to me. I mean, they are, along with the other elders that we have in Ottawa. But it's, I guess by the position that myself as one of the elders holds, I feel the responsibility lays more on me. But you do have responsibilities, and your responsibilities are to the Lord, and they also are to your leaders. So that's what we want to talk about a little bit this morning, for this afternoon is. Some of the responsibilities that you have to your elders, and the season and the reason for those responsibilities. In 1 Timothy as well, over here in this third chapter, we have the list one of the places where it lists the qualifications of the elders. And as you look down through those, we're not going to take time to read them or look at them today, but as you look at those, or if you're familiar with what the qualifications for the eldership are, as you look at those are responsibilities that really each and every one of you, each and every one of you should strive to seek and attain to, with the exception of maybe perhaps being apt to teach or being the husband of one wife. But all those other responsibilities, not being, you know, a brawler or a striker or not having a good report among those that are without, those are all things that you as Christians, as disciples, have as a responsibility. It's a responsibility to your elder who is trying to direct your life and help you along your way towards an eternal life, and it's also your responsibility to God. When you look at those qualifications there, if you haven't got those qualifications in your life, be working on them. Read them, know what they are, and make sure that your life is working on developing those at the very least. You know, it's It's a reflection not only on you, it's a reflection on the church, it's a reflection on your leader, it's a reflection on God. If you have, for example, you don't have a good report from those that are without. In other words, those that are out there in the world, they look at your life, and they believe me, they're looking at it. And if they're seeing something in your life that isn't like it should be when you're professing to be a Christian, that's not a good report from the world towards your life. And that's an ill effect on the church, and it's an ill effect on your influence on them as well. So one of the responsibilities that you have is to make sure that you're living your life as an example to others. You know, we had the brother mention yesterday in his lesson that we are the light of the world. We talked about that as being the light of the world. We talked about as being the salt of the earth, the influencing factor that's necessary to be able to let the world understand the importance of the Christian life. And like I said, there's no success without it. It doesn't matter how successful you're out there in the world. If you're not a part of the body of Christ, you're the biggest failure in the world. As elders, we want to encourage and we want to assist. We want to help you in any way we can. We want to help our congregation to be able to develop those characteristics. We want to try our very best to be an example of those things. And those are things that we need to continually work on. You know, you can have the best reputation in the world, and boy, it can go downhill in a hurry. One little thing, one misstep, one wrong move, one worldly act, and that reputation is going to be severely tarnished. So it's a continual effort. It's a continual work. Whether you're an elder or whether you're one of the congregation. As elders, we have a responsibility not only to lead, as we've been talking about, but we have an important goal to be able to, I guess you just can't do this with sheep, but I'm pretty sure you can do it with people in the congregation. You wanna give them every opportunity to be able to develop their leadership skills, their ability to learn and to be effective as members in the body of Christ. You know, it talks about the body being fitly joined together with that which every joint supplies. Well, what I've been hearing about sheep is the sheep aren't real willing to supply much. They're willing to kind of go along, but that's about it. And I heard a lesson, somebody mentioned something about maybe 10 or 15% of the congregation really does most of the work, and that maybe is so. If it is, it's a conviction of us. Maybe it's a conviction of the leadership. But I would encourage you to let's get that percentage up to about 90 or 95%, and the other 5% are the little kids that haven't come to that point yet, okay? So your responsibility as a congregation is to be looking for things that you can do to help with the effectiveness of your congregation together, building each other up, and also influencing in the world. You each have a very important part, a very important role to play in the church and in the congregation that you're a part of. You know, I don't know, we have responsibilities as elders to try and provide ways that are going to help you to develop. We can talk about your spiritual development. That's really the most important. You know, talking about maybe having development classes, teaching you how to maybe lead singing if you're capable singer that wants to do that. Maybe it's how to develop a lesson, how to put together some scriptures, how to get things worked out that way. Maybe you're not comfortable doing that. Maybe you need some assistance at just putting your thoughts together to offer a prayer. or a scripture reading. Or if you're not talking about public service, maybe we're talking about somebody that's good at running the vacuum cleaner and running, you know, clean up the place, help things out that way. We've got a pretty good sized yard out around this building here that I know several of the congregation here help with taking care of that. Whatever the ability is, there's an important portion of that needs to be done by each and every individual. We have some ladies fix us a really nice, good meal, and a bunch more of them pitched in to clean up. And while I was sitting here sipping coffee and being in the way, they just went ahead and got everything taken care of. And I tried to make sure my spot was clean so I didn't have to come back and pick up after me. But there's all kinds of things that you can do. And as the elders, it's our responsibility to encourage you to do that. And it's your responsibility as a congregation to be willing to step up and do that. Okay. Today, and I'm not talking about just today, this Lord's Day, but I'm talking about in general. Today, there seems to be a real emphasis on physical fitness, you know, getting people build up, whether it be, you know, a strength program, or whether it be running, or whether it's you know, just you can take off a few pounds, you know, kind of clean up my appearance a little bit. Whatever it is, there's a real emphasis, it seems like, on physical fitness, and you know, about every town has a, you know, health club or some kind of a spa or something you can go to. And I'm sure Lawrence probably has half a dozen of them, maybe more. But Colossians 13:23 tells us, as we're looking at that thing, and along with any other effort that we put forth, whatever we do, we want to do it heartily, as unto the Lord. Well, whether we're trying to get in shape, or whether we're trying to get our congregation in shape, or whether we're trying to get our yard in shape, whatever it might be, we want to do it heartily. We want to be the example to the world. We want to let them know that, you know, hey, Steve Wright, he's serious about what he does, and he's doing it heartily. Calvin's serious about it. He's a biker. We're talking about a pedal bike now. Jeremy, he's a biker, and I'm a biker. I do a little bit of bike riding on my motorcycle a little bit, but whatever you do, do it heartily. In other words, do it as set the right example as you're doing it. If you're training for something, you know, Paul, when he talked about being a soldier, you get ready. When you're a runner, you're into that. You're really prepping for that. When you're a boxer, you're not beating at the air. You're training, so you know what you do. You can make connection. Whatever it is, you do it heartily, and that's what you need to do as a Christian. You need to be hearty in your service of the Lord. You need to be hearty in your, take it serious. Take your Christian life serious, because it is serious. 1 Timothy 4:8. Paul says, bodily exercise, we're talking about physical exercise, it profits a little. But godliness, that's something else, is profitable in all things. Not only in this life, because it's gonna help you have a better life. It's going to keep you away from a lot of pitfalls, a lot of dangers, a lot of illnesses, a lot of mistakes. It's going to help you have a better life in this life, but it also gives you the hope of eternal life as well. In this fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, I want to read just a few verses here. He is talking or writing to Timothy. And he encourages Timothy in his Christian walk and in his work. And you know, as he writes these things to Timothy, I just think of these are things that each and every one of us needs to be mindful of and put in our lives as well. They're an encouragement to us. We might have to take this first verse that I'm going to read here in verse 12. And apply it to young and old. But he's writing to Timothy, and Timothy's a young man. So whether you're a young man or a young person, or whether you're old, you can adjust it for that purpose. It says, let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And he says, give attendance to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine, and don't neglect the gift that is in you. Don't neglect the talent that you have, which was given thee by prophecy and by the laying on the hands of the presbytery, or in our case, given to us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Meditate upon these things and give yourself wholly to them. In other words, do it heartily, like you're doing it to the Lord. That thy profit may appear to all. And he says, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. When you're talking about doing things for your elders, the responsibilities you have to your elders, well, these are some of the responsibilities that you have. But don't let somebody belittle you because you're young, or don't let somebody put you down because you're just an old fuddy-duddy. Don't do that. And also develop these characteristics in your life. Work on them. Let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. There the writer says, exhorts us to hold fast. Hold on to the profession. Hold on to your profession of faith. You know, it's disheartening to an elder to see somebody in his flock that loses their faith or that doesn't hold on to their faith. And in spite of your best effort, as Brother Duane brought out yesterday, sometimes that happens. And you wonder, well, was it my best effort? Well, what else could I have done? What should I have done that I didn't do? And it haunts you as an elder when those things happen. So if you want to do something for your elder, you hold on to your profession of faith. You stay with your faith. Don't turn your back on the Lord. Sometimes it helps to have a brother or a sister give you a word of encouragement. Maybe that's all it takes to keep you from having that happen. So in verse 24 it says, let's consider one another and let's provoke one another to love and to good works. You want to help your elder out? Be a person who's ready to pat somebody on the back, to pick them up a little bit. Give them a lift when you think they need it, when you see they might need it. Yeah, it's the elder's responsibility to watch for the souls of his congregation. But we have scripture to tell us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's each and every one of our burden and our pleasure, our opportunity to watch out for one another. Ephesians 4 and 14, that's another verse that kind of goes along with this. It says, don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Sometimes that's what causes people to lose their faith. Well, he says that, and they say this, and you say that, and you believe this, and I believe the other. And what is right? Well, if you want to know what's right, you go to the source. You go to the Word. And when you hear something, the Scripture itself tells us to prove all things and to hold fast that which is good. Hold on to what's good. And don't take into, well, I kind of like that idea. I like that idea of being able to, you know, do what I want the rest of the week and just, you know, as long as I come to church on Sunday, I'm okay. I kind of like that. Well, I'm sorry whether you like it or not. You want to know what's right, don't you? You might like it, but it's wrong. The Apostle Paul, we always point to the Apostle Paul. Poor Paul. Poor Paul. He was zealous. He had a feel-good religion. He talked about, man, if there's anybody who could brag on being a good old boy, it's me. I mean, I do this and I do that. I was raised at this religious school. I've got all these qualifications. I'm just wonderful. And he found out he wasn't so wonderful, didn't he? Okay. Found out he wanted to work. We need to stay in the Word. We need to be right. You know, what's a man profit if he gains the whole world? Well, okay, you got all these people that follow you. You got this big following. What good is it going to do you if your faith is not grounded in the truth? Okay. I want to turn to 1 Timothy again. 1 Timothy, this time we'll go to chapter 5. First Timothy 5 and verses 1 and 2 to start with. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And I don't know, this particular place might be referring to, and perhaps primarily does refer to, an older person rather than an officer of the church. But in either case, and in both cases, the teaching applies. Not to rebuke an elder, not to rebuke someone who is experienced and of age, and the younger men as brethren, but entreat him as a father. Entreat him as a father. That doesn't mean you don't have any opportunity at all to maybe call into question or to have a certain reservation about something a person might have said or done, but you entreat him as a father. If you got a problem with an elder, whether it's an older person or whether it's an officer in the church, you have a responsibility to entreat him with respect. Entreat him as a father. And by the same token, he says, younger men as brethren, elder women as mothers, and younger as sisters, with all purity. And so it's a matter of just having respect for your brother or sister in Christ. Okay, let's go on down in the chapter. I won't take time to read all these verses, but let's skip down to verse 17. Here we are talking about leaders in the church. He says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Let the elders rule well be counted worthy of double honor. I guess if you're a poor elder, you know, somebody doesn't do a very good job, he just kind of sluts through it, well, that kind of a person, it's time to get them out of the office. It's time to get them out of the office. But if you rule well, he says, count them worthy of double honor. And I think we probably understand that he's talking about honoring them with respect and reverence, but he's also talking about supporting them. As we get on down in these next couple of verses, for the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. So there's a responsibility the congregation has to their elders, is to see that if there is a need for him to be supported, that he is supported. That if he's working full time in the congregation, or if he's working even to a large degree in the congregation, and he needs support, monetary support, as well as physical and cooperative support, then we have the responsibility as disciples of Christ to do that. There's also some other responsibilities here listed that the congregation has to their elder. And it says, against not an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. You know, there's a safeguard there. In God's law, he said, you know, even under the law of Moses or at the time of Christ or even in our civil laws, it's important for evidence to be corroborated, for it to be verified. And it could be that there's someone who has a personality conflict or has has a problem with an elder, or maybe the problem's with them and the elder can't help it. But whatever it might be, if there is an accusation brought against the leader of the church, it needs to be corroborated. And if it's not corroborated, don't give it any credibility whatsoever. You place that elder in a position of authority over you, to rule over you, to guide you in your spiritual life, and you should have some confidence in that man. You should have a lot of confidence in that man. And you shouldn't allow anyone to tarnish his reputation or his influence or his effect in the congregation without it being verified, without it being corroborated, without it being truly pointed out and proved. Okay? Don't receive an accusation. Don't even listen to it. Don't put up with it. Just, shut it off. Don't allow it to come into your life. Don't allow it to be a thing of division. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may fear. He's talking about elders. You got an elder that's committed a wrong. It's verified. It's corroborated. An elder that sins, you need to take action. And you need to do it before everybody. You need to let them know that man has not lived up to his responsibility as an elder. And he needs to be dealt with so that others might fear. Okay? We want elders to be held accountable just like we do any other individual in this life. And they will be. But it's important for the growth of the church. It's important for the health of the congregation to have an elder that's not behaving as they should be dealt with. That's your responsibility. On the other hand, if you've got an elder that is the type of elder that he should be, the type of elder that's listed here in these words, you want to emulate him. You want to follow him. You want to look to his example. You want to try and benefit from the example that he sets forth. You want to listen to the teaching that he sets forth. Okay? Let's go to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, and I'll read a couple of verses here. Let's listen to these verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Can you imagine any elder not being ecstatic about having a congregation that was following after this? Any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love and being of one accord. You got an elder that's got a congregation that's like that, I guarantee you he's on top of the world. He is feeling good. You got a congregation like that, that elder, he's done a really good job for one thing. He doesn't have any problems to have to deal with. He doesn't have these divisions or things like that. You got a congregation like that. That elder is ecstatic about it. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? You got a congregation working like that, but they're working for unity, they're supporting each other, they're lifting each other up, they're trying to help each other in any way they can. And that elder, he's doing a wonderful job. And you need to pat him on the back and thank him. Thank your lucky stars that you've got him. And do everything you can to help him out. That's great. And I certainly would encourage those type of efforts to be put forth by each and every individual in the congregation. Make your elder happy. It'll make you happy, and it'll make God happy. Let's go over to Titus. Uh, Titus chapter 2. Here, Paul gives us an example of the kinds of things he wants encouraged in the church. These are things that will make an elder's job of leading just so much easier, so much better. If you have these things going in your congregation, you're going to be hitting on all cylinders. Titus chapter 2. Here he exhorts Timothy to teach these things. He says, "Speak the things which become sound doctrine." Okay? Sound doctrine. Doctrine that's going to be beneficial, doctrine that's right, doctrine that's godly, doctrine that's not going to lead somebody astray, doesn't have any personality situations going in it, it's not for any sort of ulterior motive. We're talking about teach sound doctrine. "That the aged men be sober." You know, you got some age on you. It's time to put away childish things. Okay? Be sober. Be serious-minded. Okay? "The aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, but teachers of good things." Things that are going to lift you up. Things that are going to build you up. "That they may teach the young women to be sober, and to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, and the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Okay, these are things that are going to help you develop a congregation that is going to grow and thrive and make an elder's job so much easier. Acts the 6th chapter, we have an account there in the early church when the congregation was meeting in Jerusalem as a group shortly after the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 souls were added to the Lord. And there was the infancy of the church at this time, still needing a lot of teaching, a lot of direction by the apostles, who were elders of the church in Jerusalem. And there was a problem there. What was the problem? Well, some of the Grecian widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. They weren't being watched out for. They weren't looked for. You know, you got a weak sheep over here, it's being neglected. It's getting weaker and weaker. And finally, some of the rest of the flock recognized, well, wait a minute, hey, there's some people over here that are suffering. That's your job as a congregation. That's your responsibility to the elder to help him to be able to find those people that are needing. And that's what happened. These Greek brethren, they came to the apostles and said, Hey, we've got some widows over here that are they're not being taken care of. They're needing some help. And so we know that's when the apostles directed the group to choose out men that could take care of that for them, to do that work, and establish the, I guess we'd call it an office of the deacon, to take care of those physical things, to take care of those needy widows at that point. But whatever the situation might be in a physical sense, it's not meet that we should, you know, quit teaching the spiritual things that are so important to you in order for us to go and wait tables and make sure that everybody gets fed. Well, you choose out 7 men, honest men, men of good report, men that meet those qualifications to take care of that business for us, and we'll be able to continue to grow and help you grow spiritually. And so that's what they did. And that's what we as congregations and have the who have the qualified individuals to do that, to hold the office of a deacon, we want to do that. If you don't have men qualified as deacons, guess what, congregation? You need to help out your elders, or you need to help out those evangelists who are working in your congregation and pick up the slack. That's your role as members of the congregation. 1 Peter 5. We are going to get through this. I'll speed up a little bit. 1 Peter 5. Verses 5 through 9 I'm going to look at. You younger men, submit yourselves unto the elder men. You know, it's kind of a popular thing out there in the world today for youngsters to be a little rebellious. You know, not want to submit to authority, or not want to listen to somebody who maybe has a little more wisdom, a little more experience than they have. But the Word of God says, you younger men, you submit to your elder. There's a reason why this is in here. It's because that's the right thing. It's because that's what God sees is best for you. You younger men, it's important for you to submit to the elder, because there is experience there, because there is knowledge there. Younger, submit yourselves unto the other. Yea, all you be subject one to another. Okay, yeah. That doesn't eliminate my need to be subject and submissive as well. There's two other elders in my congregation, and if those two elders have a little different opinion than mine, I might need to examine mine a little bit. I might need to submit to their guidance a little bit. So he says, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. This verse points out the importance of humility, of being willing to recognize that maybe it isn't all about you. Maybe you're not always right. Maybe somebody else's opinion or somebody else's understanding is better than yours. And so it's important for you to be humble enough to be able to look at that, to be able to evaluate that and say, okay, well, I need to maybe adjust, make a little adjustment. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 exhorts us to look out for one another, to watch out for one another. You as a congregation, you need to really be watching out for one another. These neglected widows in Jerusalem, they need to have somebody looking out for them. There's people today that need to have somebody looking out for them. And as a congregation, we want to be ones who are looking out for one another. Back to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Thessalonians 5 and verse 11 tells us to look out for one another, and then I want to read a couple of other verses on down here, beginning with verse 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. You need to, as a congregation, you need to know a little something about your elders. You need to get to know them. I mean, know the type of person they are, not only in the public assembly, but know a little bit about them. Know what kind of person they are. Know what their, whether is that good report that they had when we appointed them as an elder, is that still so? What do people think of Kenny Morton? You need to know those that rule over you and admonish you. You need to prove what it is that they say, whether it's right in the doctrine, the teaching. Okay. And in that same process, you need to esteem them verily highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Okay. You need to exhort them to You need to exhort them as they exhort you, I guess is what I want to point out. Being an elder is not an easy job. If you desire the office of an elder, you desire good work. It's a necessary work. And there are those who are among you that will perhaps be an elder at some point in your life. And it's not an easy job. You know, Glenn's talking about how contrary sometimes the sheep were. You know, that might not be an easy job. I don't know whether that's an easy job or not. But I can tell you that being an elder is not an easy job. But you know, things that are important, things that are valuable, it rarely is easy. So, you know, don't allow the fact that you've heard or you know being an elder, that's not an easy job. I don't think I want to take that on. You know, well, if there's a need there, if you have the ability there, and you recognize that you have a desire there to do that because you know it needs to be done, you know, take that responsibility on if you're given that opportunity. It's an important thing to have leadership in the congregation. Without leadership, your congregation is going to go downhill pretty quick. And we've had a couple lessons about that, how people tend to follow either good or bad. And we've got all kinds of history in the Old Testament about how the children of Israel went following after a good king or a bad king. You know, and their leadership was very important and sometimes not very good. Second Timothy 1:13, hold on to sound doctrine. That's the best thing you can do for your elder, is to hold on to sound doctrine, follow it, to live it, to be an example of it, to share it, and to grow in it. In Hebrews 13, the next verse 18, Paul asks the Hebrew brethren to pray for him. He said, "You know, pray for us. We need your prayers, brethren. We need your prayers." And that's something that each or every one of you as a congregation can do for your elder. You can pray for them. And do that. You know, I'm asking today, you know, pray for your elders. Pray for your deacons. Pray for those that are in a leadership role in your congregation. Pray for one another. You know, that's prayers of, I don't know what more powerful tool you've got than that. You've got God at your disposal. Well, maybe disposal isn't the word I want to use. You've got God with his eyes and ears open to your prayers. And he's promised to answer your prayers. So pray for your elders. Pray for your deacons. Pray for one another. We had a really good lunch today. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, if you had something to do with it. I really, really appreciate it. And by way of closing, I guess I want to serve you up another big meal, another big dish of encouragement as you go through this life, and a big dish of gratitude for the way that you support your elders, the way that you establish this meeting, and I want to give you a big, for dessert, a big thank you for everything that you do to support your congregation and support your elders. And I can tell you this, your elders appreciate the help.